America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on BBC.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ is supported by Rivian. Off-road electric Joyride ride-alongs are available in downtown Chicago in a Rivian truck or SUV from September 19th to the 21st at the corner of East Illinois and North Michigan. Plus, a chance to win a two-night stay at a luxury Chicago hotel. Terms apply. No purchase necessary. Entry period is September 12th through the 21st. Must be 21 to enter. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. Visit Rivian.com/Chicago Sweepstakes to enter.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The Greek Revival-style Clark Ford House, built in 1836, now sits in downtown Chicago. And the folks behind it, well, they say it is the oldest house in the city. Meanwhile, the people at the Noble Seymour Crippen House in Norwood Park say, not so fast. Our house was built in 1833, 3 years earlier. So that means we hold the title of oldest house. Except one wrinkle here is that technically Norwood Park wasn't considered a part of Chicago back in the day. But how much does that technicality matter when chronology says otherwise? Well, our architecture sleuth Dennis Rodkin went digging. So next, you'll hear my recent conversation on the topic where both sides made their case. You'll also learn more about Dennis's findings. At the table was Reverend Kevin Anthony Ford, who's a third-generation pastor at St. Paul Church of God in Christ, and godson of Bishop Lewis Henry Ford, whose name's listed on the official title of the former Clark House. And Dennis Rodkin, who's Crane Chicago Business residential real estate reporter. And I started off by asking Dennis why this debate around the oldest house in Chicago is so appealing.
Well, I think it's very interesting that we have two houses from the 1830s, each with a very interesting story. And together they tell, if you look at the two stories, you really see the history of Chicago, not only growth, but segregation. Taking a long time to sort of to recognize our own history in the case of the Clark Ford House.
Yeah, you know, and when you do a Google search, it almost appears like there's a clear winner here in this battle because the Clark Ford House comes up right at the top, built in 1836, as we know. But the word built, right, it's carrying a lot of weight here, isn't it, Dennis, right? The oldest house built in Chicago.
It is. The other oldest house, the other one we're going to talk about, the Noble Seymour Crippen House, was built 3 years earlier, was built in 1833. The Clark, now Clark Ford House, was built in 1836. The difference is the Noble House wasn't in Chicago at the time. Chicago eventually grew out to it, while the Clark House was built right in downtown Chicago, essentially at 16th and Michigan. Mm-hmm. It did spend some time in the suburbs after one of its moves. But it's the oldest house in Chicago that was built in Chicago, while Noble is the oldest house in Chicago, period.
Right. And with the Clark Ford House, that's even though it's been moved twice, right? It still maintains that title. Where exactly is it located today? You said it's at...
Now it's at 19th and Indiana.
19th and Indiana. And what should we know about the Clarks?
They're an interesting couple. He was a hardware merchant. And they had come out from New York, which is one of the reasons that the house looks Greek Revival, is that that was very popular in upstate New York in the 1820s and 30s before they came here. They built a very grand house, and then they made it even grander with additions later. They had a large piece of acreage. Now, if you go to 16th and Michigan, you can't imagine, but this was a big farm, essentially, right on the shore of Lake Michigan. The shore now is farther east than it was. And so they were pretty prominent merchants at the edge of town.
Yeah. Reverend Ford, this is a good time to bring you in here because I'd love to hear your view about your family connection here, because this is essentially the house that your grandfather, Bishop Lewis Henry Ford, eventually saved, right?
First Preservationist here in the city of Chicago.
Yeah. Tell us more.
I'd like to mention, I thank God for my father, Charles Mason Ford, who was the son of Bishop L.H. Ford. Dad made sure that we had a clear understanding of what this house meant to the community. When I think back in time, when the city of Chicago was founded by Jean-Luc Pointe du Sable in 1779, Chicago has a long and storied history, people coming and going. When the city of Chicago was incorporated in 1837, construction had concluded of Chicago's oldest house. This issue is not a battle. It is, subject matter is establishing a timeline, geography. The oldest house in Chicago, we call it the old house lovingly. I grew up in it. We knew about the story of the Crippen House. It's very clear that based on timelines, relevant timelines, looking at the incorporation of the city of Chicago, 1837, the oldest house was here. It was there when the seal was placed on the city. The Crippen House, based upon geography, was outside of the scope of the city of Chicago.
Right.
As just indicated, it was annexed. So one can indicate that the Crippen House is older, given. But as a young man, I remember working in county government. It was based on seniority. Who's been in the longest?
That's right.
I don't care how old you are when you came to join in employment. Your age had no factor. Your seniority did. So no battle, but Chicago's oldest house might chronologically be 3 years younger.
Mm.
But as far as seniority in the city of Chicago, it maintains and holds its dominion as the Chicago's oldest house.
This is getting even more interesting, Dennis.
What the people from Noble Seymour Crippen say is, yes, but our house has been in the same place since it was built. The Clark Ford House is not on the foundation it was built on. It's not on the location it was built on. It was moved about 3 miles south to 45th, moved back. So their argument is, sure, your house is old, but it's moved around. And it is important to keep in mind, it left the city of Chicago. When it moved south, the city limits, it moved outside the city limits. I'm not trying to defend one house or the other, but this is why we get to this semi-rivalry.
And what's wonderful is we will hear from someone representing the Noble Seymour Crippen House in just a moment, so we can throw that question to him as well. But sticking with the Clark Ford House, Reverend, you started off there by just, you know, reminding us of the history there. And it was a long one. It was a powerful one. This house spent three decades being restored and protected from demolition by your grandfather and his church. But they were denied official acknowledgement of their preservation of the house for, what, half a century?
Yes. When one looks at the National Park Service, we look at the National Historic Preservation Groups coming out of Washington. I have documentation of some of the negative aspects and documentation here of what they called it. It was in a ghetto that the church would let it deteriorate. So there were always attacks on it about its relevance, its timeline, and whether it could survive under the hands of African Americans, which all of it was a bunch of poppycock.
Yeah.
My grandfather, and I know what happened in that house because I was born in 1957, and I grew up in that house. That house was exceptionally well-maintained, the lawns, the grounds, and that. So when I think back on this house, yes, it was moved. It was moved to the Hyde Park region of the county at that time, but it still maintains. If you look at the dates of incorporation of Norwood, and when you look at when they came in 1893, she still clearly maintains and holds her seniority as Chicago's oldest house to survive. Now, one can reckon that its location or moving might, some might say that it challenges its credibility. I would suggest no. City Hall in the city of Chicago burned down. Rebuilt, but it still holds the nomenclature of being the city of Chicago's Hall of Justice Administration. And I'm very careful because it's not a battle here. it's just establishing timelines.
Yeah.
And the Crippen House has a wonderful history, and we just had a long talk about it. The light that needs to be shined on both of these properties.
Right.
It's critical. So I believe now, as opposed to finding variances, we do need to establish timelines, geography, and that will give us what will be, what is, seniority-wise, Chicago's oldest house.
And joining us now in studio is Art Crumrie, who is president of Norwood Park Historical Society and a docent at the Noble Seymour Crippen House. Welcome to the program, Art.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Give us your thoughts on this, you know, this friendly battle. And I'm using air quotes here for people who can't see me. This battle, if you will, about the oldest house in Chicago.
Well, I must say that it was refreshing to have a conversation with Bishop Ford this morning, because I agree that we shouldn't dwell on the rivalry so much as the rich history of Chicago, because the variety of our history is attests to the richness of the history of Chicago and the variety of and the diversity of the history of Chicago. Now, I would say that one difference is that our house, and I would say our house,
because, here we go.
our house, because the Noble Seymour Crippen House is based on total volunteers. I'm a volunteer. I'm the voluntary president. Mm-hmm. And our budget is very, very modest. So Mark Noble built a house on a ridge as a farmer. And he had a sawmill on the Des Plaines River. And he built a house, a very modest house, but it was not a log cabin. It was a wooden structure that we can see in the posters that we show our visitors. And it was a good-sized house. And what we are proud of is that we show our visitors that we have a book called Norwood Park, A View from the Ridge. And Mark Noble built the house high on a ridge because he was a farmer, and he built the house high on a ridge because below that was swampland, and it was the original Lake Chicago. And we at Norwood Park Historical Society are proud that our docents understand that everyone who works with us understands the legacy of our house.
Well, you know, now at 192 years old, that Noble Seymour Crippen House is truly the oldest building in Chicago. Dennis and I stopped by. We had the pleasure of stopping by a few weeks ago. I want to play a little bit of our walkthrough. Let's listen. So as we approach the house here, Dennis, I mean, beautiful structure.
Built in two pieces. You can see it looks like three pieces, one story, story and a half, two. But actually here on the left, the one and one and a half story pieces, built in 1833. And then this Italianate two-story portion built in 1868 by a subsequent owner. So you're looking here on the left at the Noble House. Mm-hmm. On the right would be the Seymour addition. And then later come the Crippens, and it becomes the Noble Seymour Crippen
House. So it wasn't always this big.
It wasn't. But you know one interesting thing about it, going back to the 1833 part, Mark Noble was the co-owner of a sawmill, which was essentially where River Forest is now on the banks of the Des Plaines River. It's about 8 miles from here. And the house was built of lumber milled at his sawmill, as opposed to in 1833 being a log cabin.
Yeah. Should we get a closer look at the Noble side of things?
Sure.
Let's do it. So we're standing on the porch now. Tell me a little bit more, Dennis, about when the Nobles built this section of the house.
Well, so I said 1833, when Chicago was incorporated as a town. Mark and Margaret Noble were two English immigrants. They both came from England separately, and they met in Chicago. They were among those first roughly 200 people in Chicago in 1833, and they moved to the suburbs as the town was incorporated. They moved out here about 12 miles from downtown Chicago. But they still had, still had real estate interests in the city. In Westtown, there's Noble Square, Noble Street. Mm-hmm. That's named for Mark Noble. And then they lived out here from 1832, I guess, is when they moved here. And 1833 is when they built the house. And they're here for 16 years till 1849.
16 years. And then what was next? After they left?
Well, you know, in the historical record, there's a little bit of a gap. There's 19 years when multiple different owners pass through. But
and we don't know who they are?
I think they're known, but they're not recorded like Seymour and Crippen.
Okay.
So the Nobles are here for 16 years. The Seymours, who, again, built this new addition, were here for 48 years from 1868 to 1916. And then the Crippens, couple generations of the family, were here for 71 years.
Wow.
From 1916 to 1987.
Okay.
And since then, it has been the Norwood Park Historical Society.
So let's pick up where Dennis left off there, Art.
Yes, the Crippens were generous enough to sell the house to the Norwood Park Historical Society,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't that easy. I mean, we had to do some fundraisers and so on because they proposed a purchase price that was very generous, but it wasn't entirely affordable. So we had to do some fundraisers, and we have a video that we can make available to you that tells the story about the fundraisers that we had to undergo to make the purchase.
Yeah.
And then after the purchase, the house was not able to be shown. So we got a state of Illinois grant, the only government fund, significant government funding that we ever received to actually raise the code of the house in 1999 and 2000 to make the house code compliant. And so today, when you come into the meeting room, which is the original Noble area,
yes,
it doesn't appear to be a historic structure.
It looks quite modern.
Right, right.
Yeah, I remember saying, Dennis, are they setting up for a banquet? Or
right.
It just looked, you know, very nice.
And that's the consequence of the fact that we remodeled it, the Historical Society remodeled it in 1999 and 2000 to make sure that it was compliant with codes,
yeah.
with smoke detectors and fire and so on, to make sure that it's safe to make sure that it could
right.
be a meeting room.
Yeah, and talking about recent years, Reverend, I know that in 2022 at the Clark Ford House, you led an effort to get your grandfather's name on the official title. Right. And then it became officially the Henry B. and Carolyn Clark, Bishop Lewis Henry and Margaret Ford House.
In other words, call it the old house.
Does that feel like a victory, though, for you?
To a degree. I would suggest that in 1935, when surveyors came out in Chicago to look at the historic buildings, at that time it was designated. By about 1971, when the plaque came up, I remember that plaque. It broke my heart. I was there just a few days ago. And as I'm walking through the house, as I entered one room, I found that plaque, which meant so much to us as a family and a community, was unceremoniously laid over in a corner on the floor, not put up on the building.
Wow.
I'm listening to my brother as he speaks. The real battle now is finding dollars for preservation for these structures. And as we can sit here and go up and down about whether an addition was added to a building or whether it was moved to make some determinate factor that affects its timeline, I would suggest the real timeline for all of us who are in this is to start to elicit funding for these properties. Now, the city of Chicago, for whatever reasons, does not have funding for programming. The budget as we all hear, is at the bottom of the pit. They have enough money for the old house to take care of its physical plant,
right?
But nothing for planning for the museum.
Yeah.
Nothing there. Now, I want to thank the labor unions in this city of Chicago. I've been in contact with them, and many of them are ready to do work to help as a donation, following the leadership of what my grandfather laid down as the first preservationist,
yeah.
and I'm working with them. But that's another question, whether the city will allow such a thing. And I don't want to go to fight to help somebody bring to light the great history of the city of Chicago.
Yeah, no, very interesting points there, Dennis. I mean, these two homes were supposed to, they're both to be serving as historic house museums. But on the Clark Ford side, I mean, it's closed.
It has been closed for 3 years. This is problematic. So Reverend Ford led the move to get the name changed from Clark to Clark Ford. And at the time that that announcement was made in the fall of 2022, city officials said, we are changing the name and we are closing the house for 6 months to do a rehab and refurnish and various other things. 6 months from November 2022 has long since expired.
Yes.
I can't get a reply from the city on why it hasn't reopened.
Mm-hmm.
I have been told it will reopen this fall. So that would be 3 years as opposed to 6 months. But it's difficult to have to say, you know, they made the decision. Yeah, we should acknowledge the Ford family who protected this house when it could have been lost, who restored it, and whom we promised in the 1970s when we bought the house and moved it back to where it is, that they would be acknowledged. And let me say parenthetically, I've read the articles from 1977 in the Chicago Tribune as the house was being dragged up the street and lifted over the L tracks. Nobody at that time referred to Bishop Ford in the stories. And occasionally you see that it used to be a church, but you don't see it was a black church. You mm-hmm. don't see that it had been kept by this church for decades when the previous family had not been able to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it's nice that this turn was made in 2022. Let's make the acknowledgments that weren't made in 1977. But now the house is still closed.
Yeah. And over on the Noble Seymour Crippen side of things, the doors are open as a historic museum. What's the response that you're getting, Art, from visitors when they come in?
Well, we are open on Saturdays from noon till 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I serve as a docent, frankly, a substitute docent. But it's enthusiastic. I mean, we see a variety of visitors mm-hmm. from all over the Midwest, and sometimes from foreign countries. So I'm very excited when I'm able to serve as a voluntary and substitute docent to talk about the history of the house. And we only have four small museum rooms, but our history is rich, and I'm excited to tell the story.
There are so many stories to tell there. And I think about the fact that at this table, I'm sitting in front of a group of preservationists.
Right.
In general, though, and I want to hear from you both, do enough Chicagoans know these stories? You first, Art.
No, not at all. I mean, we always feel that we're an unsung story about Chicago. And the Chicago Architectural Society we try to get them out. 2 weeks ago on Saturday, there was a voluntary group that came and visited us, and they toured the neighborhood, and it was very gratifying. And they came back, and we gave them a tour, and so we need to get ourselves on the map.
Yeah.
So I really think that there's more to be said to get the Noble Seymour Crippen House on the map as Chicago's oldest house, whatever.
Oh, don't start that battle again.
Okay.
All right, Reverend Ford, your thoughts on just whether enough people know about your grandfather and this house?
No, but they will. After the Chicago fire, the city picked up a motto that I will. And that was the motto that began the city to build. I will. They will. We will survive. And the Chicago came to that. Subsequent years later, I might not agree with the policies of this gentleman, but Mayor Daley has a motto that still sticks in my mind, and that being the city that works. Now, many people are they think that these types of museums or homes have no intrinsic value, but they don't understand that at the old house, the Clark Ford House, that house was a mega center. An area that lifted the heads of black people across this nation. I saw the likes of Harold Washington, Mr. Ralph Metcalf, my grandfather, Bishop Charles Harrison Mason, saw Mayor Daley coming down, Governor mm-hmm. Dan Walker, Senator Percy, saw men and women who had no clothes and no food to eat. I saw that place as a mega center that stood up to lift people's shoulders and mm-hmm. heads. From that house, I watched my grandfather begin to work with organized labor. I saw young men who heretofore, when they built that travesty called Robert Taylor, one of the trade-offs was that my grandfather got young black men to become stationary engineers at Local 399. Watching these things caused me to really dive deep down into organized labor here in Chicago. To date, we've placed over 270 black men and women into the skilled crafts, and that's documented by the DOL.
Wow.
I'd like to, without taking much time, I want to refer back to something from the U.S. Department of Interior National Park Service, dated circa 11-1677. Excerpt, quote from a fellow named Bill Farrar. Bill, primary problem is neighborhood is a ghetto, wasteland, firebombed, twice secretly. We see these obfuscations and these disastrous remarks laid upon black people who were the first preservationists in this city, who gave their love. Do people know about this? No, they don't. But shall they? Yes, they will.
We'll leave this topic here for now, Dennis, but I, while I have you at the table, if you can tease what we've got next on our summer tour of historic homes.
Next, I am going to show you around a house that was designed by Lewis Sullivan and Frank Lloyd Wright and Ooh. Is a real gem of architecture.
Looking forward to it. Dennis Rodkin is a Crane Chicago Business residential real estate reporter. Reverend Kevin Anthony Ford is of the St. Paul Community Development Ministries and a third-generation pastor at St. Paul Church of God in Christ. And Art Crumry is the president of Norwood Park Historical Society and a docent at the Noble Seymour Crippen House. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
For making this happen.
Thank you for having us.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was brought to you by yours truly, me. From news and culture to the important information you need to know to engage in our moment today, we bring you into the conversation. So hit subscribe to never miss an episode or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again later today.